Wow, it's Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. January 13th, baby. Tonight's guest will be Steve Barish. But first, I want to say a couple of things. One, when we're on the air tonight, I always get lots of new listeners out there. And one of the things we're having a lot of fun with on the index page is you go down to where it says right below the picture of Sound and Wind Show, but in a minute it'll be Dr. Fred Bell Show, right below the pictures of who's on the air, we go to the quick chat, and it says BBS Fast Chat. And you click on that, and you start sending me messages. Hey, lots of messages. I like those messages. Secondly, if you go way down the page, you'll find the camera's back on board. Now, I just turned it on a few minutes ago. Don had reprogrammed it because we changed some codes around here. But tonight, the camera, our live at Dr. Bell's house camera. Now, we're not doing the Playboy Club. Sorry about that. But we are on the Dorian Gray paintings. And these are two paintings that I painted with Semyasi back in 1971, an extraterrestrial from the Pleiades. And these paintings do change. And they glow in the dark, and they change mostly at night. And it's a 24/7 thing. Eventually here we're going to have a camera back on my face, but I've gotten so ugly lately, actually beautiful, that I don't want a camera in my face. I just haven't had time to set that up like we did have, but that's coming. And I also got to get down here, Don down here, to hook up some new equipment. And tonight we're going to be talking to Steve Barish. You know, as was on the previous show, we were hearing there needs to be a plunger stuck down in the drain to cleanse out the earth. Well, that's what we're here for. With the Pleiadian Andromedan technology, we take care of all of the technological glitches. We take care of the ELF problems. We take care of the pollution problems. We take care of the dirty water problems. We take care of the radiation problems. And how do we do that? We do that through holographic projection. It's the only way it can be done now. And listening to James Gillian a little while ago, who's brilliant and very spiritually tuned in, I totally agree with everything he said. And he's doing the same thing in his way, and we're doing it in our way. And you do it in your way, and hopefully we'll join forces here. So with all that said, once again, welcome to my Voice of Tampa Bay listeners at 1340 Tantalk and 1400 Tantalk Radio down in Tampa and all the way to Miami in above the ground stations. And welcome to new Art Bell listening people. And welcome from the couple shows that I've been done out in Texas, Oklahoma lately. So I welcome everybody. So I'm going to introduce Steve Barish. And Steve, we got a lot of new people out here. So I have to apologize for you guys that know who Steve is. But he's got to introduce himself for about 5 or 10 minutes so that all the new listeners can know. Because you haven't been on here since we've been on Art Bell and picked up, you know, several thousand listeners. So you need to introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about your background, going back to the point when you and I used to both drag race Chevys and race cars back in the 60s. So welcome, Steve Barish from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Fred. How you doing?
Are you in New York or Pennsylvania?
Rochester, New York, Fred.
New York, Rochester. That's,
yeah.
I don't know why. I guess because my mom was born in Reading, you know.
Ah,
and okay. But yeah, New York is okay. Rochester is good because I know you take a lot of pictures over there at Kodak, right?
Yeah, and they also have one heck of a drag racing thing in Reading, Pennsylvania. So.
Oh, yeah, there it is. There's where the mix-up is.
Yeah.
So let's have a little bit of background about you. You know.
Well, Fred and I used to race automobiles. I was a world champion in 1964 with a Triumph. I drag raced a little Triumph. And had a ball with that. I think I was about 21 years old when I started racing, and really had a lot of fun. I had a 62 Chevy 409 with 409 horsepower, and so we used to drag race a lot when I was a kid, and we had a lot of fun, tremendous amount of fun. But the big thing is I guess what we want to talk about tonight is the nuclear receptor.
And the Andromedan projector. Tell them how you got. How did you get from drag racing to healing? How did that happen?
Well, what happened was, Fred, I did have a master who was a wonderful person. He passed away about 15 years ago, and we did a lot of experimentation in terms of meditation. He taught me about energy work. And we would do all kinds of wonderful things with energy. I would see colors right away. I saw people in the room. We were just doing some magnificent stuff early on. And then, of course, we went into the real advanced meditation. And we used to go up to heaven and bathe in the light. I would stay there for about half hour, 45 minutes at a time. And then as he was getting a little older, I was doing a little bit more work, and I was trying to keep up with him. And,
where was he from, anyway?
Bob was from Rochester, New York, and he was a professor at one of the colleges here, university, and he actually gave up his professorship to go into energy work. And he was extremely enlightened. He was a wonderful human being. I used to call him 10 times a day, and he would answer every question that I would have. He was like a second father to me. And we just had a wonderful time together. And we learned.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What happened to you? Because I know a lot of people out there probably wonder. I wouldn't even know how to answer this question. That's why I'm asking you.
Sure.
What happened to you when I was drag racing and when I was at NASA? Actually, I was drag racing while I was working at NASA, and then after NASA, when I didn't have to work anymore, then I just spent all my money drag racing. And then what was a pivotal point in your life that made you go insane like I am and get into this kind of work? From, I mean, it was neat to stay up all night and work in the garage and go out there Saturday night and blow your car up and try to fix it so you could run Sunday. What made the transition inside of you, and how old were you?
I was exactly 40 years old, Fred. I had been working with my master for about 6 months, and I was laying in bed around...
Oh, you were still drag racing cars and working with your master simultaneously?
No. This was... I was 40 years old. I was drag racing at 20.
Okay, well, where did it change? Where did you begin to meet this master?
I met the master when I was about 35 years old.
Okay, so when you were 34, you were still thinking about racing, or what made you change?
No, I was working for my father in Rochester, New York. He had a BMW, Volkswagen, and Toyota agency. And I was selling parts all over the upstate New York.
Okay, so you were selling parts. Now, all of a sudden... selling parts got boring, or was it boring?
Well, what happened, Fred, I was always interested in energy work.
Okay.
Totally interested. And
you were drag racing?
Yeah, we had a ball with that.
Okay.
But when I had turned 40 years old, I was lying in bed around 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was doing a lot of energy work, and all of a sudden I felt like I was having a stroke. And I wasn't having a stroke. I was actually going into my consciousness further than I've ever gone before in my life. And I was looking at an octagon shape, and I kept on looking at it, and all of a sudden I saw this tremendous light coming from within inside myself. And I actually looked down into this light and saw my soul. And all of a sudden I started getting these beautiful messages from heaven. And that voice has never left me after all these years.
Okay, so that was the start.
That was the start of when everything happened.
That was I wanted to know the paradigm of when you actually changed.
It was, the voice was God. There was no question about it. And he would tell me to go into, we have a big store here called Wegmans. It's a food store. And I would reach across the counter, and I would get yeses and nos for everything that I was supposed to eat and not to eat. And I lost 109 pounds in 9 months.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right. And my mind was so active. There were times when I didn't sleep at nighttime. I was just writing down messages.
You taking
all night
any
long.
Drugs, smoking any pot?
No, I never did that, Fred.
Never?
Never.
Okay.
Never did that.
Were you much of a drinker at all, alcohol?
No, and I don't drink, don't smoke, don't do any of that kind of stuff.
Well, I don't know if I could have you on my show or not.
I was a straight kid, and I did listen to this voice. And the
That's
voice
beautiful.
Never
See, I commend you for not doing all this. In our society, it's such a temptation, especially in the peer group in high school, to smoke a pot or You know, I didn't know what pot was until I was 27, but it was around me. And drink a little bit or do something. You got to do that, you know. And you didn't do it, so you were pretty much a loner then, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was really actually very well much a loner. I used to go to synagogue 7 o'clock in the morning every day, which was about 7-8 miles from here.
Yeah.
And it's called laying tefillin, which are two boxes that we put on our head and our arms. And I would pray to God every day. And I did that for about 6 or 7 years without missing any time.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. I don't know if you were listening to the show with James Gillen and Don and Gwen a few minutes ago, and James Gillen made an interesting statement, which I thought was really interesting. It's most important, you know, in your spiritual life or life itself, is to find out who you are and then get on your own path.
Yeah.
I think this is a perfect example of what he said, how you found your path. That's why I'm bringing this up, because it was a brilliant show, one preceding this one.
Right, right.
And all you newcomers out there that like to listen to my show, because I know I get a lot more listeners when my show comes, listen to that Don and Wynn show. I mean, Don's a nutcase. There's no doubt about that, Don Newsom. But, I mean, other than that, it's a pretty good show. And it just leads right into this one so perfectly. So that's a perfect explanation, because a lot of people wonder, especially young people, you know, there's so many young people out there I want to help, high school, that they're so bogged down in their peer groups that by the time they get to college, they still don't know their direction. They go to college, you ask them what they're taking. Well, I'm taking everything. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's like my thing with me was I just did what felt good. You know, I always went with a good feeling.
Yeah,
I forget the intellect. To me, the intellect is the destroyer of it.
It's just really a waste of time.
Waste of time, exactly.
It's a waste of time. The voice, the voice of silence, is the most powerful voice on the planet.
Yeah, and to me, to find that voice, you need to be devoid of alcohol, drugs. You need to try fasting a little bit.
Right.
Give up some stuff for a day or two. Do you do anything in the Jewish religion where you take a time off and fast? Or do you
Yes,
important. And the other thing is just slow down from the daily grind and step out and have an hour for yourself. Now, I wonder how many of you listeners out there actually go out there even now and have an hour for yourself, not a day, but a week. You just have an hour for yourself a week. Where you just say hell with everything, screw it all. I'm going to just have an hour with myself. I'm going to take a walk in the park. You know, I'm going to go in the closet if there's no park around and lock myself in there for an hour. Just do that. I bet most people out there ask yourself that question. Do you do that? You know?
Yeah, it's really, really important, Fred. I know there's a lot of times when I'll go sit in the park and take a pencil and paper and just start writing down what's ever in my head.
Yeah.
I know that after I left my dad's business, I went to massage school.
Yeah.
And
What made you do that?
Excuse me?
I mean, going from racing and the glamour of that. And the
glamour I went to massage school.
What happened in your head?
What happened in my head was that the school that I went to was extremely good school. It was called the Pennsylvania School of Muscle Therapy, and I believe they sold it now. But
Pennsylvania, there it comes. There it is.
Yes.
Okay.
I was born in Pennsylvania, so.
Yeah, my mother was born in Reading.
That's right. You were saying that.
Where were you born?
Philadelphia.
Okay, Philly.
Philadelphia. And I used to race in Acco Dragway, Cecil County, Maryland, Vineland, all around those areas. There were some really, really fast tracks. I think the fastest track in the country was Cecil County, Maryland.
Wow.
That was the fastest track in the country. Everybody used to come there.
And I know you were a big Shelby fan, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Dad was an Arndt Duntoff fan because I ran Corvette.
Yeah.
You were the competition, baby. That's funny.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. So go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, sure. Not a problem. So getting back to energy.
Yeah. Now what do you do now? Remember, we got new listeners out there. I know you're a regular once a month on my other show, on this show, but what do you do? I mean, how many people do you see a month, first of all?
Well,
what is your practice?
I'm seeing between 30 and 35 people a week.
Yeah.
And that's just doing massage.
Yeah.
I see and talk to probably another 30 a week, 20 a week for Paradigm. You know, they call me from all over the world, asking me questions, how to hook up the units on their walls.
Yeah, that would be the Andromeda technology projector.
Right.
Once you know who you are, then you go into the hologram and you change things around.
Right. And I let me tell the listeners from the beginning with the holograms.
Yeah, go ahead for that.
The hologram projector, I had to wear a holographic projector around my neck for a few months before I got my projectors. When I got my projectors, I put them up on the wall. There was four of them. North, south, east, and west. And the first day I used them, the Andromedans came into the room. They were watching me do my work. To get back to the massage, I was told by the body, every body that comes in, I was told by the body how many strokes to do, what direction to go into, and how to heal that person.
Right.
And that's when you listen to the voice, that voice will do that. But anyhow, getting to the projectors are extremely strong. You have to have your mind concentrated on one thing and one thing only, and that is to do the best that you can possibly do. They're extremely powerful. The Andromedans came into the room. They were watching me, for about 3 hours in my room working with my clients. Then they left. The following day, I had an Andromeda come in the room that was about 9 feet tall. He held out his hand, and he took me to his universe, his galaxy, and his planet. I was taken to the planet. I was standing in front of a council. The council was talking to me for about 5 minutes. They put me in this crystal, almost like a crystal bath. I was submerged in water. It felt like water. About 5 minutes later, 2 minutes later, I'm not sure exactly the period of time. This was 9 months ago.
Right.
I think maybe even longer than that, Fred.
Yeah.
And I was brought back out, and my chakras were twice as big. Why they did that for me, I have no idea. But with the Andromeda techniques that they've shown me, I think it's just being able to help people on the planet. But
I have a question for you. When you see these, because I have a lot of people, I have some big industrialists, you know,
yes,
that are world famous, people that know, they hang, you know, like at Microsoft, people that run companies like that. They have these systems now. I don't know how we got into corporate America, you know, with the sale of these systems, but we're there.
Right.
Big time.
Right.
And they claim that what they see are, and I don't coach them on the Andromedans or the size or anything, but they come into their rooms, usually their meditation rooms, and they claim they're quite tall.
They're
Is that
very
what you've
tall.
Experienced?
Yeah, that's what I said. The first one, they came in, and the first day, there was one that was 9 feet tall, one that was about 8 feet tall, and one was about 6 feet tall.
Right.
The second day was a man that was 9 feet tall who held out his hand. I was taken through his hand. And I was taken to his planet.
Yeah.
Were
you out in the galaxy Andromeda?
I was out in the galaxy. It was almost like going through a wormhole. It was extremely fast. I would say I was there within about a minute, 2 minutes, if it took that long to get there.
Right.
They were extremely nice to me, and I've been doing their work ever since I've been back.
What was it like when you were there?
It was very beautiful. It was extremely modern. The cars, if you want to call them cars, they weren't actually cars, but they were running above the ground, they were actually flying. It was just beautiful. I mean, it was just ultra-modern. It was just absolutely gorgeous there.
Well, the Pleiadian cities, when Sumyasi showed me Hera, her home world, I got to see the countryside because I got to meet her mother.
Right.
And when I met her, they had like a kind of a crystalline structure house,
mm-hmm.
and it had a stream. Her mother's name, by the way, was Raya, R-A-Y-A,
mm-hmm.
and she had silver hair. And I didn't meet her father; he's always out somewhere in space.
Right.
And Raya told me, her house is like a lot of glass, it's probably, I guess it's like quartz silicon,
okay.
melted in the glass. And when the light shines through it, it creates like rainbow effects inside.
Right.
And the thing that really got me is that in this particular place where Rhea lived was that there is a stream coming down the hillside that cleared. No pollution. There's no pollution in the era. There's none.
Right.
Matter of
right.
fact, when you approach the planet, it's green, not blue.
Right.
And we call it the Emerald Planet. And we landed right near her house. And there's a stream going through the house. It's coming down a small hill.
Right.
There's trees pretty much like, I don't know, it's kind of a cross between palm trees and pine trees, if
okay.
you can imagine that.
Right.
Because the temperature there is pretty much, where this part of the planet is pretty much even year-round. It's not as humid as Hawaii, and it's more of a dry temperature, and it runs probably, I'd say, mid-upper 70s.
Right, right, right.
The stream ran through the house, and you could hear it, and it had little rocks and things, and it was really beautiful. So just imagine a big glass room with a stream going through it with, like, a glass bridge over it.
Right.
And the furniture was pretty much natural, made from wood and things like that. There wasn't
okay.
a lot of, it wasn't like my house here in Laguna, which is like a museum.
Right.
But my furniture is made out of redwood and all of that.
Okay.
It's all natural. But it was just, it was like nature. It's like there's a rock in the corner and you could sit on it. It's a chair. And it's really amazing.
Yeah, I didn't get to see.
I'm just trying to describe what
yeah.
I saw where
right,
I went.
Right,
and I was
right.
wondering if you got a description like where you are.
The only thing I saw were hovering cars, you know, people driving their cars through.
Yeah.
But basically, it was the council that I was looking at. I saw that, you know, through the corner of my eye, but they were really, they were pretty intense with what they were saying, and they were very, very nice to me, Fred.
Yeah. I know one thing, that the Andromedan Council is like the highway patrol for spaceships, because when you do an instantaneous punch through the, you know, space and time, what happens is you end up, you know, you don't want to have two people come out. I mean, it sounds kind of strange. Let's say somebody's coming from a Mars, and somebody's coming from Jupiter, and somebody's coming from here, and we're all going to the Pleiades at the same time, and we go, end up in the same space simultaneously. We'd have like a car wreck, you know.
Well, the amazing
and,
thing
and the Andromedan Council kind of like keeps that from happening by using communication devices.
Right, right. People that are on a higher consciousness level, not that I'm higher consciousness level, but anyhow, you'll be able to, if you have the projectors in the room or a projector in the room will actually turn right into the universe. The room will actually open up and you'll be able to see the entire universe.
Yeah, now do you think you need four? I'm only using three right
well,
now.
Well, I've got four, Fred. I use four and that's how I saw it.
Yeah, I've never... What happens with me is I've got three in position in the temple here. Back when we developed the radiators, there were times, and the radiator is a big, tall thing. You can see it on my website at paradigm.com, but I had four radiators in my living room in a quad system. Then back when I used to charge them with the small systems power supply, there were certain times when there were astrological conditions in the living room where the walls would disappear.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened with me.
Yeah. So that, but I got that with the radiators. Now, when I set up my projector system in here, I started out with one, then I went to two, and then three. I never could get four because people keep buying them, and I don't get a chance to get the fourth one in.
Right.
Because they're a lot of work to make. They're not just thrown together. They're handmade.
Right.
And so I've never got. I guess I need to get the fourth one up.
The fourth one may make a big difference. Now I'll tell you what happened with the fourth one, Fred. I've never operated with less than four.
I know you went the full route.
Actually, I did, because I lent one to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Here in Rochester, the Whites, they're really sweet people, and then of course our friend called up, and her husband had passed away.
Right.
And you and I had mailed our projectors out to her home.
Right.
And what a sweet lady she is.
Yeah, she's really nice.
Patty's a wonderful person, and she's got products that are just absolutely incredible.
Now, I'm going to get her on as a guest on the show pretty soon.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what happened was, basically, with the projectors in the room, I was able to see the rooms completely clear. I mean, there was nothing there. Everything was translucent. Everything was open. As a matter of fact, there was a pyramid above my head and a flying saucer to the right of the room, which must have been about 1,000 feet up. Now, what I'm talking about is that the room completely disappears. There's nothing but the universe. You're absolutely in the center of the universe in the room. And I've never really woken up people on the table to show them that. I'm a little afraid of doing that to them.
Yeah. Now, explain to the audience out there what happens when people walk in. Let's get real down to earth. We got the cosmic part going on. Explain to them, why do people come to you in the first place? What's wrong with them?
I mean, well, I've had people, Fred, that come in. I had a woman who had 9 cysts in her breasts.
Okay.
And we just went through a meditation, and they were gone. They were absolutely gone, and she went to her doctor.
How'd she hear about you, anyway?
Through a friend.
Okay.
Everything I do is word of mouth. I never do anything unless it's somebody that knows somebody.
Okay.
And I've been able to actually dissipate that in her system. I've healed people with the same thing in the ovary, same thing in the stomach. It just happens, Fred. It just happens automatically. I think at a certain point, when you open up to the universe, things just happen automatically.
Yeah.
And so that's why people come to me, and also I give a great massage.
Yeah.
But it's fun for me. It's a lot of fun because, you know, you're healing people all the time. I've been able to see the chakras. I've been able to go into the people's chakras with them, introduce them to their heart, introduce them to the other side of the chakra, which takes them out into the universe. So
now, the average person.
This is not for average work, Fred.
Yeah, no, because let's say, do you when people come into you, do you evolve them, or
yes.
Do you work with them? And in other words, I know you've had people come in off the street that haven't got a clue why they're there, right?
Right, and
they don't know what a chakra is from a flat tire.
Right.
How do you handle somebody like that?
Well, if they don't, what I do, Fred, is that I work on them, and I just let the energy go, and I tell them to let go of everything.
Yeah.
And usually they will, and they'll just actually focus on absolutely nothing. They'll just focus on the freedom of their own self-expression just by allowing everything to flow and just let everything go. And eventually they will evolve. The people that don't evolve don't stay.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people come in like on Prozac or Effexor or any of these drugs.
I've had people with depression that have come in, and they feel a lot better when they leave. Of course, I tell them that if they want to get off the drugs, they're going to have to go see their doctor. I can't tell them to get off the drugs. You know?
Yeah. Do you ever have them go see the doctor and get off the drugs?
I think so, Fred. I think so.
Yeah.
I've told them, and they felt a lot better when they left. So I suspect that they did, but, you know, with the medical profession today, you need to tell them to go to the doctor and see what's going on with them.
Yeah, because it's very important for people to realize when you're on these antidepressants, these SSRI reuptake inhibitors, is that, number one, you have a huge deficiency of vasopressin in the body. Vasopressin is a hormone that allows you to hook up your higher self, your higher consciousness, that which you were hooked up to before you came into this incarnation, and stabilize it with the real world that you're living in and make a balance. And if you don't have that upper connection, the real world's going to eat you up because it's nothing but a bunch of sharks out there and pollution
right,
and poison.
Right, right. Yeah. I have a friend here in the city that's teaching Theta. Her name's Mary. She's a wonderful person.
Right.
And I think no matter how you get there, I think Buddha said it the best, that there's many lakes leading to the same ocean.
Yeah.
And I think that we just... we open up to the universe in our own way. And once you make that connection is never broken.
Yeah, the one of the things about Buddhism is the Four Noble Truths. And the bottom line of the Four Noble Truths is truth is the beginning, and truth is the middle, and truth is the end.
Right, right, right.
And that's suffering. But suffering then leads you to the next, you know, noble truth, and that is that there is a path that takes you to wisdom, and then that takes you to the next noble truth, where you have openness and acceptance, and then, of course, the final one is wisdom conquers all, and then you reach nirvana.
Right.
When you go that path through Buddhism or whatever, it works. But I mean, a lot of people don't understand, you know, that's everybody starts out in pain. Even if this were a perfect world, there'd be some pain here, because pain, you know, gives us motivation to come to solution.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the Torah says it best, is that the Torah being the five books of Moses,
right.
It says that you stay on your path. You don't go to the left. You don't go to the right. You just stay right on your path, and you don't turn left or right. And that's what I've been doing for the last 24 years.
Yeah. Now, most people, when they get on their path, this is what I've seen, and that is, when they get on the path, they get so excited they're on the path. So they jump off the path and run and see their friends and say, I'm on the path. Here's the path. And the bottom line is, their friends don't see the path. They don't even want to be on the path. So they put the wrong energy out, and that person makes it harder to stay on the path. And pretty soon, if they do it enough, they lose the faith that the path was there.
Well, the people, once you're on the path, you really don't want to get off the path.
No, you don't want to get off of it.
You know, it's so wonderful. You know, these kids today and some of the people that are high on drugs with heroin and cocaine and all that other kind of junk, if they would sit down and just take 5 minutes just to think about how wonderful God is and meditation. Meditation will lead you to a high like nothing you've ever had before in your life.
Yeah. Would you describe meditation a little bit, at least the way you do it?
Yes. Well, my teacher taught me the meditation to just let absolutely everything go.
Well, what do? You while you're on the subway or you while you're sitting at home?
I do it when I'm working with my clients. I do it when I'm home. I go into a very deep meditation when I'm working with my clients. And
so you do it anywhere?
I do it anywhere, Fred.
Okay. Now, when there was two types of meditation that I learned. The first was from when I was working with TM, you know,
right.
Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. It's a long, long time ago. It's 30 years ago when I was buying them, you know, a lot of products for levitation and stuff they wanted to do for spiritual exercises. And that was a point where you could choose an area where you would go, a room, a time, and for an hour, if you could get that much, or half an hour, or 15 minutes, sit down, close your eyes, you know, try to be where it's quiet.
Yes.
Center your will in your heart and just let everything go. Just go for it. Just let it. In the beginning, of course, you got to just, there's so many thoughts. I got to pay the light bill. Oh, my daughter's over here. My husband is here. I got to do this. All that crap's got to go. And that all comes
everything
through your head.
You
got
to
allow time for that to all go through. It's all going to happen when it's supposed to. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Got to let it all go.
Right.
And then, when it's all gone, then, and nothing's going to happen until you let it go. Because that stuff is in your consciousness. That's energy follows thought. And so it's in your consciousness. So you need to let it go, let it go, let it go, until there's nothing more to let go.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's all cool.
Right.
And then I think the meditation starts, and you start to get some answers and questions and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay, now that's in a room. Later on, I spent a lot of time... Paramahansa Yogananda had a sister, and that sister had a daughter. And that daughter was an old girlfriend of mine 30 years ago.
Right.
And between her and Herb Reed, who was a lady that took over when Yogananda transcended, he connected to a lady named Sriya Dayamata, who took over the trip, who then took Kriya Yoga and transferred that over to a guy named Herb Reed, who was formerly a Jewish guy and then became a... SRF guy, you know, this is Yogananda's trip, Paramahansa Yogananda.
Right.
He wrote a book called Autobiography of Yogi.
Okay.
That came into my life after TM, and when that came into my life, then having gotten to that point where I could sit down in a room and clear all the crap out of my head, and there was plenty of it, and a lot of it was my own ego and my own ignorance. I mean, I fix things all the time that aren't even broken in my head. We all do.
Right.
So I got past that. Then suddenly I was able to go down the street and do what you do. And while working and everything, I didn't have to stop and go in a room anymore. And I still got the same answers I did. I didn't have to clear my head anymore. And that was called Kriya Yoga.
Right.
But it sounds like somehow or other you got initiated into the Kriya Yoga state.
It could be, Fred. I think the higher vibration of meditation is into everything. I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. That's really interesting. I was not quite as lucky as you are. I had to go they say the brave take the hard path.
Yes.
And I took the hard path.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's any easy path, Fred, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is that we're there and that we can help a lot of people along the way, and maybe somebody could help me along the way. You know,
no,
so
that's wonderful. Everybody that I've helped, ours helped me. So now, well, a lot of my clients, you know, when you look at one of these projectors, they're about 9 inches long.
Yes.
About 4 inches wide. They look like two receptors side by side. As a matter of fact, on the front page of the BBS radio website, you'll see one of these things.
Yes.
And if you look at them, they go left and right and up and down. In other words, if you put this thing on the counter and looked at it, you could swivel it to the right or left or up and down,
right,
or any angle in between. If you mount it on the wall, it's, you know, or upside down in your ceiling. So polarity, for some strange reason, the way that these things, these antennas are positioned, seems to have a dramatic effect. And this is not just from the healing clientele that you work with.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit?
Yeah,
what
sure,
the
Fred. What
I've
done,
I sort of invented this thing, but I don't even understand them half the time.
What I've done, Fred, basically is, as a matter of fact, today I talked to a fellow by the name of John, who had a friend who just bought 4 holographic projectors, and he called me, and I gave him the exact height of 5 feet 10 inches that he had to set him in the room.
I had to screw him into the wall, or what?
No, I believe that they weren't screwed into the wall. I think they were mounts that had to be mounted on something without being on the wall.
Okay, all right.
So what happened was, is
we
had
a variety of mounting options.
Right. Told him to put the first one on the west wall.
Right.
And as soon as he did that, Fred, we moved the, I believe, the projector 2 degrees up.
Yeah.
In other words, those diamonds were up and down, you know.
Yeah.
Vertical.
Right.
And both of them started to get heated up very quickly.
The diamonds did?
The two people that were in the room, both of them got heated up.
So their body temperature went
up?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got heated up very quickly. John's friend, very, very nice guy, he was really taken back with it.
He said,
I haven't been able to feel
right.
these things, and all of a sudden, he
said,
was
hold
feeling...
On. Was John's friend a skeptic?
No, he's been into energy for quite some time.
Yeah.
And he had just ordered, I think, 4 projectors from Mikkel.
Yeah.
Or John, I'm not sure which one. He just got them the other day.
Right.
And John called me, and they were in California, and he had... we set up the projectors in the room, and they were just absolutely ecstatic. 2 days ago, I had another person call me, and he said, Steve, he said, ever since I put up these projectors in my room, he says, I have a lot of acreage, and I'm having a lot of flying saucers that are landing on my property.
Yeah.
So,
now,
I mean,
the
things
goal
are happening.
Or what? Or did he have a goal?
Excuse me?
What was his goal? Why did he buy these in the first place?
They want to learn more about healing. They want to learn more about healing themselves, healing their friends. They're making healing rooms. The projectors are so powerful, Fred. You can actually see, or at least I can see, the pyramids. There's pinpoints of light coming from the pyramids.
Yeah, when you first got yours, what, was that a year ago?
Yeah, I think about a year ago.
And I got to tell everybody out there, Steve doesn't have a lot of money. These things aren't cheap, and I think you probably almost had to borrow the money to buy the first ones you
just
got.
Just about. Just about.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually,
that's a big sacrifice. You spend a lot of money on something, and you practically borrow it. You need to get results.
Well, Fred, to be honest with you, I believe in your products, and more important, I believe in you, and we've been good friends for the last few years, so I can honestly tell people these things really, really work.
Yeah, no, I know they do, too.
Right, and, you know, the projector that you could wear around your neck is extremely powerful. But these projectors are not kid stuff. This is the real McCoy. If you want to open up to the universe, that's the way to do it. I remember when I put them up in my room, I have a friend, Tom White, who used to drive, actually come off the expressway, which was 5 miles from my front door, and he could feel the energy from my place at the expressway.
Wow.
And when he would drive by, he would see a 300-foot vortex that was coming from my room.
Wow.
So, and it's extremely powerful there, Fred. As a matter of fact, we used to have a friend of ours in Atlanta, And I took him about a mile away from the place, and he's extremely sensitive, and he could feel the vortex coming out of my room.
Wow.
So it's not a matter of just putting him in the room. It's a matter of believing.
Yeah. Now, what about your positioning? I noticed.
Yeah, the positioning, I have mine up about 6 feet.
Yeah.
Mine are wall-mounted, and they're vertical.
Yeah.
Which means the diamonds are up and down, not crosswise. And I have them mounted 6 feet. They're approximately 5 degrees up, which means that the bottom part is up. And it's extremely powerful.
Do you use lasers on yours?
No, Fred, I don't use the lasers on mine.
Yeah, because we offer them, and some people like them. Do any other people use them?
Yeah, I think some of the people that I've talked to have used lasers. They ask me if I use lasers, and of course I say no. I have the lasers, but I don't use them.
Right.
And especially when you're doing massage, it's pretty difficult to, manipulate them lasers. But anyhow, it's just an amazing tool, and I think it's as far as I'm concerned, it's probably the most advanced tool I've ever seen in my life. And when the Andromedans took me to their galaxy and planet, I said, this is wild. This is real McCoy.
Yeah. Now, what we're getting ready to do, I think we'll start networking people pretty soon. We haven't really gotten these things too much into world politics, but we have got into Homeland Security with them because we're using them for a project over there, and it seems to be going quite well. And that's where we're dealing with the containers coming into this country and hooking them up to orange codes on the NSA satellites.
Okay,
but that's a defensive a defensive measure, anti-terrorist measure that they found their way into the State Department and they seem to be received well there. But now, as we need to start. What do you think about using these things to start cleaning up the just basically dematerializing pollutants, chemicals?
Well, I believe that.
What do you think about that?
With the energy that we're putting out there, the frequency that we're putting out, I believe that's cleaning up a lot of pollutants. There's no question about it, Fred.
Yeah. Well, you're cleaning up people. Now, let's see how many people, different people a month. Now, everybody that comes to your practice, obviously, has a contaminant in their body. I mean, whether they come in there for depression, tension, whatever they come for, it's all caused by pollution primarily.
Yes.
And God didn't create humans with depressing problems. Humans created an environment where they depress themselves, I feel.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
So inadvertently, you are cleaning up the pollutants, the heavy metal poisoning, the genetic cancer traits. Like people, for example, two people could be standing side by side. One that could get cancer quite easily. The other one would be almost impossible, even though their pH is almost alkaline because of inherent genetic transfer from people that had bad habits in that family previously for many, many, generations.
Right.
So you're able to reverse that, right?
Well, I've been able to do that with DNA. I actually see the DNA coming out of the body.
Yeah.
And the strands, and I've been able to clean the strands.
So you do it strand by strand?
Yes.
Okay.
I've actually cleaned blood. Blood actually thinks it's extremely holy.
Yeah.
There's no question there's God consciousness in blood, which means there's God consciousness in absolutely everything.
But without it, you're not in your body, so that ought to say something right there.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I'll do is people will ask me, can you clear my home? I know we cleared you a few times.
I got hit so much from the grays. And
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I remember we used to clear the blackout from the bottom of your head. I remember that.
Oh, yeah, because we're on top of a vortex here.
Right.
To get hit with some horrible stuff.
Right. And I've had clients come in with their houses that are extremely, just taken over by a lot of different toxins and spirits and
Well, toxins like maybe mold and that kind of thing.
All kinds of things, even lead or whatever the case may be, or depression or sicknesses or flus or colds or whatever the case may be. And I can actually go over their homes about 500 feet over the home and just put a tremendous amount of light in their home and clear it.
Yeah.
Now,
they have to.
That's what the
projectors. How long does it stay clear? Do you have to keep doing that?
No. No, no. Once it's done, it's done.
Okay.
It's up to their own thinking. They have to change their thinking because the thinking is what causes the home to get toxic.
Yeah.
You know. And so I tell them that they have to clean up their minds.
Yeah.
It's extremely important.
Okay, but now here we got a I'm on the VBS fast chat, and a person has asked, and I'm going to let you answer this question.
Sure.
I have had a receptor for a month. Should I get a projector now or wait?
Let me tune into the person. Yeah, it's okay to get a projector. Her, I believe it's a he or she. I'm not too sure, but I'm looking at the heart right now.
Well,
and the heart's wide open.
AJ.
Pardon me?
The initials are A-J.
Okay. Now, the heart's wide open.
Heart's open.
She's okay, or he's okay to get the projector, yes.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, AJ, and get it now. Now, yeah. See, this is, let me tell you, audience out there, you know, Steve, I introduced him to Ken Oda. Ken Oda's dad was Governor Oda of Okinawa. He's part of the royal family. Steve would have gone to Japan earlier and met all the masters over there in the mountains and done healing on the royal family, but Steve wasn't ready to fly yet. He didn't like airplanes.
I'm not a flyer.
Yeah, but I think you're ready to now, right, baby?
I think so, yes.
Okay, so Steve's ready now. So Steve's like sitting there in his place in Rochester, gets recognized by the royal family of Japan, you know? And that's like, you know, you just sit there and do your thing, and the world will come to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe there's a saying, the world is your oyster.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really important for everybody out there to know. So, because I know a lot of you don't know who Steve is, and I have him on a lot because we get bombarded over here. And it's not just to get people into something that we manufacture, a paradigm. It's about the holographic set and the web of the universe. And a lot of you, if you looked at the VBS front page before the Bush speech, 2 days before that, I had everything that Bush was going to put in his speech and beyond from an NSA briefing that I got. It was just declassified as it was being declassified within the minute it was being put up on the front of BBS Radio, the website of the information about the five battle fleets that are going in there and blah, blah, blah. We had it all up the way before the Bush speech, even before MSNBC and CBS, MSNBC, CNN had it. Why do we get that information? Because we have had a nerve in arteries in the government with certain people that want this information out. It's very important for everybody to understand that at BBS here, we're not mainstream. And if you are mainstream, mainstream doesn't work. Mainstream is, you know, the Pied Piper. You know, let's lead the rats off the cliff. It's not about that at all. This is the truth out here. And I just wanted to share that real quick.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The other thing is that what we should really discuss is the nuclear receptor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, nuclear receptor. I've had mine for.
Excuse
me. I've had mine for. Let me see, about 8, 9, 10, about 10 years now, and the first one I used was a silver one.
Right.
And I was walking on a path in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, and I saw this black coming out of my back.
Yeah.
And I called Fred right away. I said, Fred, I'm seeing black coming out of my back. And you told me that that's the x-rays that are starting to come out of your system.
Yeah.
Or the x-rays that you had that was starting to come out. And then I would see my blood being cured, and I was, you know, eventually things were being cleansed, and my mind was being cleansed, and the DNA was being changed, and it was a wonderful thing. And eventually, I went into a gold receptor.
Yeah.
And the first time I tried one of those on was in Toronto, and I said, "May I just try one of these on?" And I put it on, and within about 30 seconds, I was gone, and I was just going right out of my body. And I said, "No, this is a little bit too powerful for me right now." And I kept on wearing my other necklace for another few years. Then I got a gold receptor with a diamond, and then I got a gold receptor with a purvey of diamonds and the platinum bridge.
Yeah. Okay. So let me interrupt you. I got quite a lot of questions are coming in now. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. How well do remote healings work with projectors? And does Steve do remote healing?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So yes, does they work well?
Yes.
Okay. Next question from Deb. Steve, do you use the orb with your system?
No, I just use my my projectors. That's all.
Now, you don't actually use a star orb somewhere in your building?
Excuse me. I do have a star orb, but I lent that to somebody.
And you're actually running ungrounded.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with that, Fred.
Wow, you're the only one, because most people, well, yeah, because you're weird, you know, but...
Well, I'm as weird as they come.
People need to have an orb, a star orb.
Yeah, I did have a star orb in the room, and actually in the other room, and we talked about that. It grounded me too much.
Okay, so you're kind of weird, all right.
Yeah, I'm a weird guy.
Okay, now tune into a guy named Richard.
Yes.
And he wants to know, I've had my receptor also for about a month. Am I ready for a projector?
Richard's asking that.
Is he ready for a projector? He's had a receptor for a month.
No.
No, Richard, you're not. Okay.
Tell him also he has to wash his nuclear receptor. The nuclear receptor is dirty, and tell him not. He keeps on touching the back of the receptor. He can't do that.
Stop touching the back of your receptor and wash it more.
Right.
Okay, MS, can Steve do a healing to the listeners?
Yes.
Okay. You want to do it later or now? Or are you doing it as a
doctor? I could do it right now.
What?
I'm just clearing whoever it is now, right
now. Can we give you a minute of silence? What do you want?
No, as I'm talking, the person's being cleared right now. So.
Okay.
Keep on going.
All right.
Yeah, they're clear.
Okay.
Okay.
Steve, this is from D. Wait a minute. Hold on. Carl says, do you wear the receptor and projector at the same time? That's Carl.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, I don't, but a lot of people do. That's a matter of personal preference. Okay, D, another one. Steve, what do you charge for remote healing and what do you charge for a remote healing and would one treatment do the healing? This is from D.
D, what I can say is that usually it works. Part of the problem is it's where your mind is, where your consciousness is. I can get you straight. I can get your chakras open. I can get everything clear for you. It's a matter of where you're at.
Okay. Why don't you give your phone number out right now so people can, because we're going to run out of time here in about a minute.
Okay. My phone number, my cell phone is area code 585-746-8321.
Yeah. Repeat that.
It's 585-746-8321. The person that we healed before over the phone, you have to keep your mind open. Your first chakra is shutting down again. Please try to remember to let everything go. You have to let everything go. Don't hold on to anything. That's it. Now it's clearing.
Okay.
Good. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to sit here and watch these questions come in while we're talking, you know, because
you know,
having somebody like you on is brand new, but the next time, I'm sure they'll get their questions together, you know.
Right.
And build the questions. And most, this is quite common with my shows. This is what happens with Art Bell all the time. A 3-hour show, 2 hours we talk about stuff, George Norrie or Ian Punnin or myself. In the last hour, we got about 40 minutes, we opened up to questions.
Right.
And most people don't really want to ask questions until the last part of the show.
Okay.
Now, I know Don's pushing me to do a 2-hour show, but I'm not quite ready yet to do that because I will soon. So keep your questions coming. And even if I don't get them answered in this show, then we'll answer them in the future.
For the people that want to know, I charge $75 an hour.
Okay.
Or $75 for a treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was a question that somebody...
Yeah, it was one of the questions.
Right.
So that's really good, and we had a lot of fun. Anything else you want to go into? We got a couple minutes left.
Yes, I think what we need to do is talk about the nuclear receptor, and it's the basis for me is for everything. Before you buy a projector, at least that's what I was told, is always have a nuclear receptor on before because it's extremely important.
That's what grounds the DNA out.
It grounds the DNA.
Yeah.
It cleanses. It purifies. That's the basis of everything. And it really does work, folks. It's absolutely an amazing tool. If you can't afford gold, get the silver one. The silver one I wore for 8 years, or 7 years, and they work tremendously well. Tremendously well.
Yeah, and we also, we test you, you know, Steve can test you, or we can test you for the weak chakra, or the hydrogen atom, you know, the color in the hydrogen atom, the frequency that you're weak in. Everybody is, you know, all the chakras are one of seven colors, one of seven frequencies, which
right.
correlates to sound, light, and color.
Right.
So everybody is weak in that, you know, one of those areas, and then we test you for that color, and then you wear that on the receptor. The receptor looks like a small satellite dish, and in the center of the dish is this gemstone. And then after you wear it, it changes the cellular structure of your body. After 90 days, your
right.
red blood cell structure is affected.
Right.
And after 7 years, your bones, somewhere in between, it's time to change stone. And
yeah.
we just you constantly evolve back to what's normal in your highest frequency. And so the receptor helps you get there. When you get to the projector, you're dealing with wave technology. And wave technology is dealing directly with reality and all of the hologram itself.
Right.
But if you've got a lot of distortion in your body, you're gonna put distortion in the hologram, and that's not gonna do you or the hologram any good. So the receptor is, you know, required, you know. But it's okay. When you never get perfect in this world, or you wouldn't be here.
Right.
So we get you clear enough so you realize the difference between perfect and not perfect, you know, perfection and non perfection, and you're on the path, then you go ahead and get the holograph going. You know?
I think people yeah. need to know that it's the holographic projector is beautiful. The projector you wear around your neck is beautiful. It really does work. But the beginning of everything is a nuclear receptor, and that is a dish. That is almost like a satellite dish.
Okay, I have two more questions. We're going to be out of time.
Yes.
Okay. Deb says, longer shows will be great. Okay, thank you, Deb. James says, Steve, can you clear my aura over the phone? Say yes or no, and then
yes.
I've got to put you off the air and do my hot rod to hell thing and we're out of here.
Yes. That can be done.
Okay, clear. Okay, Steve's done. That was Steve Barish. Give your phone number once again, please, really quick.
585-746-8321.
Okay, thanks. That was Steve Barish. Now we're going to the last minute of the segment of this show called Hot Rod to Hell. And this is the pragmatic side of it, where in the daily life we have problems, and we have to deal with these problems, and I have them too. And as I told people last week in the Hot Rod to Hell, we were paging Paige's computer, where I'd bought a small under-the-counter television set. They couldn't deliver it. I called them, and they said they couldn't answer the phone. They had things out of control. They were up on Melrose Street in Hollywood, which sent shivers up my spine because Hollywood's the land of flakes. Well, finally, I didn't get the television set after I canceled on my American Express card. By the way, American Express cards are great for charging things on, because if you get screwed, you can cancel the charge, whereas with a master charge, you got to go through a big battle. And so finally they sent me the television set, but their karma was so bad when it got here, it didn't work. So I want to thank Page Computer in Los Angeles, California, for sending me late and not answering their phone, not answering their fax, not answering their emails for a month. I want to send you right to hell. How many other people have you screwed? Page Computer, Dr. Fred Bell, BBS Radio, wants you to take a hot rod to hell. Twice!